MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting now with Casey Sprague from AG Capital, where she is the market strategist. Casey, always appreciate the early morning time. A fascinating report you put out on short positions in our market. For listeners out there, short is usually a hedge fund, a trader. They've borrowed stock. They sell it into the market, expectation that it will fall, and they can buy it back at a lower price, at a profit, and then return to the lender. In other words, sell high, buy low. Casey, this is a regular occurrence in markets the world over, and in this African case, you just as data that then is supplied by the JSE, who's able to say what the size of short positions are on individual stocks.
Yes, good morning, Simon, from a sunny Windhoek side in Namibia from my side. As you mentioned, we released a piece now this week. It stemmed off a conversation I'd actually had with our CIO, who had been, as you mentioned, watching this data via the JSE and sort of noticed this trend. And I think just at a very high level, you know, retail is, of course, a working capital business. Mm-hmm. So we noticed that, you know, when margins compress and stock stops moving, you're not starting to get a scenario where you don't just lose earnings. You know, the balance sheets, of course, start to fray. And that's when shorts start to move in from, you know, hedge funds such as ourselves and other speculative capital.
And some of these numbers, I mean, and maybe they're not, but to me, they look really, really chunky. You got Truers, you got Spar, you got Dischem, almost 25%, 20.8%, almost 15% of total free float has been borrowed. That looks like a chunky number to me.
Yes, no, it's starting to grow quite significantly. I mean, we can look more from, say, a top level, but I think it's quite interesting if you start drilling down to, you know, specific names, because I think there's a lot of nuance between the various names. It's not just a simple sort of, you know, short story. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I think, you know, you mentioned looking at sort of Spar. I think Spar is the clearest example of where market concerns are actually firmly grounded in observable fundamentals. Mm-hmm. You know, you're seeing a counter with a history of elevated debt and complex international expansion that's really sort of destroyed value. So I would say in simple terms, in Spar's case, the market is effectively saying that, you know, this balance sheet is too tight for earnings power of the business. So you see some form of recapitalization, you know, maybe a rights issue or something similar is a realistic scenario. So that's why in from that case, I would say Spar screens as the most fundamentally justified short in that way. But then, you know, if you look at a name like Truist, for example, that's a sort of slightly different story. It stands in a bit of contrast to Spar. You know, that company is still showing positive profitability, but it carries a very large debtors book, which is effectively straddling that line between, I would say, you know, almost a retailer and a financing company. So the market is short Truist, not just because I would say, you know, P&L has necessarily fallen apart, but more just because of it's very nervous around a large debtors book. And then that's when, you know, the mark, this sort of makes it the short of it a more sort of extrapolative, as you would say. You know, the bear case is that this could go wrong rather than this has already gone wrong. And that direct, I think that distinction is important when we talk about, you know, embedded value versus sort of outright distressed finance, etc. So there's nuances around the names.
That's a great point. And they've all got a different story. And my sense is there's always a bit of short. We've got Woolies, we've got Pep, we've got ShopRite, all at around 2.something%. There's always going to be some short position. That's what markets do. But then there's what's called the days to cover. Now, I've seen it across my trading career. You get what sometimes is called a short squeeze. In other words, I don't know, something happens. A really good piece of news comes out from a heavily shorted stock. And then the scramble to the exit, because for short sellers to close, they need to buy and they need that liquidity. And in some of these cases, I mean, days to exits are running at plus 20 days. Maybe I'm just a coward. That would scare me.
No, 100%. And that's why it's a space that you really need to sort of be careful around that. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned specifically the concentration and sort of days to cover. So I would say, given the size of these short positions relative to your sort of average daily trading volumes, some of these names would take weeks to buy back if shorts needed to sort of cover. So if you look at, for example, so I'm thinking off the top of my hand, in about Truist or so. I think the current short interest equates to roughly 36 days of average traded volume. In Dis-Chem, the figure is actually closer to 2 months. So that's around 57 trading days, which makes any force covering, extremely highly price sensitive. So our CIO actually uses the word sort of, it's often when it comes to derivatives trading, the tail wagging the dog scenario. So you often find with these sort of tools, so, whether they're looking at index futures, options, or swaps or whatever, often we see that, referencing these names, you can also create additional short exposure beyond the cash market, and that really amplifies moves when positions are rebalanced, which is what I think you alluded to now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to be clear, I've done a little bit of trading in my life, but these numbers are giant. We'll leave it there. That was a fascinating article. Casey Sprague, market strategist, AG Capital. Join FinTalk. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.